Let's turn to God's Word, that passage we read earlier, Luke chapter 2, verses 1 to 7. Words that are familiar to us, but I trust that words would afresh speak to us as we think about the men who missed Christmas. And with God's Word in front of us, let's bow in a moment's prayer. Father, we thank you. We have been worshiping you, and you alone are worthy of that worship. We would ask that as we now come to the preached word, that you'll take preeminence over that, that you would, Lord, bring power to that word. That, Father, that although perhaps there are not as many here today as there usually would be, may we not worry about that, but may we just concentrate on what the Almighty God has to say to us. And so we pray that you would take away all the distractions, all the thoughts of later on, take them all away just now, and help us for this short season to concentrate on the living Word of God. We pray these things then for Christ's sake alone. Amen. It was one of the most stressful journeys that we ever made. I'm not thinking about coming to church this morning, but I am thinking of a journey that we made over 20 years ago. As a family, we were going on holiday to Wales, and we had to travel down to Dublin to get the boat to go over to Holyhead. And I had never been in Dublin before. It was the first time that I had driven to Dublin, and I kind of thought, well, it'll take a couple of hours, and I left a wee bit more time on top of that. And so we set off, and we were in good time. Journey was going well until we landed into Dublin. I didn't realize what Dublin was going to be like early in the morning with everyone getting to work. There was no tunnel at that stage to take you to the docks, and there was traffic everywhere, and the clock just seemed to be working overtime, and the heart was beating fast. We knew we had to be at the docks. And as the time went on, it was just Matthew and Chris in the back seat, and they were, as young boys, were excited about going on holidays. And I was thinking, we're never, ever going to get to this boat in time. I put my hand up and confess that we even broke some laws that day. We went down the bus lane, we tried, thought we're going to have to do something here. And as we arrived at the docks, the time was almost up, and I said, look, boys, I don't think we're going to get this boat. And as we pulled round to where the Irish Ferries boat was sitting, the gates were shut, but the boat was still there. And the man in the wee hut, he says, are you looking to get on this boat? He sort of hung out the window. Are you looking to get on this boat? I says, yes. And he just swung the gate open. I don't even know if he took my ticket. And we drove. And as we were driving up the gangway under the boat, then the wee forklifts were driving out. And by the time we got from our car up onto the deck, the boat was moving. It was hectic. And it was one of those situations, and we almost missed the boat. And maybe you've been through a similar experience of almost missing a boat or an airplane or a train or a bus. And when we miss that, it can have devastating impact on our plans. But even if that is the scenario, and we miss something, well, we know that there'll be another one along in a little while. Well, this morning I want us to think about men who didn't miss a boat or a plane or a train. But I want us to think about someone who missed something more important. They missed the first Christmas. And the first man that I'm thinking about is perhaps the most obvious and the one that may be foremost in your mind, and that's the innkeeper. The Bible doesn't mention this man specifically, and it's most likely by the time the story of the birth of Jesus was put into writing that no one remembered who he was. There was no reason to remember him, but we believe he existed. In Luke 2 and verse 7, we read earlier, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. There can be no doubt that there was an inn, and so this implies the existence of an innkeeper. And in all the hustle and all the bustle of all that was going on in Bethlehem, this innkeeper missed the most important birth in history. Of course, he shouldn't have missed it, because quite literally it happened on his doorstep. But missed it, he did. The opening verses of Luke 2 inform us that the Emperor Caesar Augustus issued a decree that everyone had to return to their own home. And as a result of that decree, Joseph and Mary made the journey to Bethlehem. But of course, many others had to return to Bethlehem, and the little town was packed out. And as we try to imagine all that in our minds, we can only imagine the distress for young Mary. The baby was going to be born soon, and they couldn't find anywhere for her to deliver that child. We don't know how many inns they inquired for a room. We don't know that if Joseph was getting all worked up and maybe even lost his temper. We don't know if Mary was crying. We don't know as the time went on if her waters broke or if her contractions had started. We don't know those things, and no doubt they were probably pleading with this unnamed innkeeper. However, what do we know? Well, we know that he allowed them to go into the stable, and it was there that God's one and only Son was born. Almost right under the nose of the innkeeper. And yet he missed it. He was too busy. Too busy making money with the influx of visitors to be concerned with this poor couple who had traveled from Nazareth. His preoccupation with his business meant that he missed that first Christmas. Yes, the birth of Jesus was over 2,000 years ago. And in our day and generation, well, we don't have innkeepers. But nevertheless, I believe there are people who are living like that innkeeper. What do I mean by that? Well, I believe there are people who have become so materialistic that they miss the true meaning of Christmas. It could be their business. And that business has become bigger and bigger, and now it means more to them than Christ. It could be their home, and you know that little home, it just takes on a whole new meaning, and that home has become their idol. It could be all the frenetic activity of dinners and trees and tinsel and turkey. And maybe as this Christmas approaches, the truth of your heart is that you're still not saved. You're like the innkeeper. You're close to discovering Jesus. He's right under your nose, but you allow all those things to press in on you, and it ends up pushing Jesus into the background. Oh, how sad to miss out on Jesus. How sad to be close to the kingdom and yet not to be in it. Neil Maxwell has written a book with an intriguing title, and it says, "Each of us is an innkeeper who decides if there's room for Jesus." And that begs a question for our hearts this morning. Have you, as an individual, have you made room for Jesus? Right now, God bids you to repent of your sin. Right now, he bids you to come to him. Will you do that today? Will you discover Jesus for yourself? Will you do that as you sit in your pew this morning? Please don't miss out on Christ this Christmas. But I believe there's a great and a fresh challenge here for every Christian. Sadly, feverish materialism has gripped the hearts of many of God's people. You may be asked, well, what is materialism? Well, here's a good definition. A tendency to think material objects are more important than people. Desire for money over ethics. There are those who know Christ as Lord and Savior of their lives. And yet the sad truth is that many seem to be following the Lord these days afar off. They're driven not by God, but by the desire to have more wealth, more money, more material objects and what they give to God, whether that's time, talents, or finance, is being squeezed. Christian, can you think back over the past year? And let me ask you some searching questions this morning. And let me ask you, how often have you attended a Sunday evening service, a midweek meeting, a corporate prayer meeting? Well, those things used to be important to you. But why is that the case, not the case anymore? Is there a subtle coolness that has crept into your heart? Is there a careless attitude about how you live out your Christian life? Is the busyness and the demands of this world actually squeezing God out of your life? Well, you don't mean it to be like that, but that's the reality of your life. Just like you didn't mean to stop reading the Bible, but you missed it for a day, and you missed it for a second day, and before you knew it, you'd missed it for a week, and now you seldom, if ever, lift God's Word and read it. Your prayer life, which was once a great priority, well, it's kind of gone to the dogs. And you find that you're only thinking about praying when you're in trouble. Well, let me ask you a very poignant, very direct question this morning. If you knew that this Christmas was going to be your final Christmas, would you do things differently? If you knew that in 2018 your life would be over, would you make changes in how you're living? And yet, isn't it true that the stark reality is that this could be the final Christmas for any one of us? Well, let me urge you that if the flames of passion for Christ have dampened down, let me urge you to have that fire rekindled in your heart and life and burn brightly for Christ this Christmas. Don't be like the innkeeper who was so close and yet missed out. The second man who missed Christmas was Herod. He was the king of Judea, which of course included the town of Bethlehem. And I always try to look the best in people. But, you know, there was nothing likable about Herod. He was a sly old fox who was guilty of many murders, including at least one wife and three sons. He's not the sort of person you'd want to rub shoulders with, especially going up a dark alley. Herod probably had no thought of religion because he was a cynic. He knew the traditions of Israel, but he didn't really believe them at all. Herod should have found Christmas, if only because he had a large stake in the outcome of that. Although Herod was the king of Judea, deep down he wasn't concerned for the people in his kingdom, but instead he was filled with his own self-interest. Matthew chapter 2 records Herod's story. Herod was at home in Jerusalem when news reached him that the Magi, or the wise men, had come from the east. Listen carefully to what they said as recorded in Matthew 2 and verse 2. "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw the star in the east and have come to worship him." The next verse tells us that Herod was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. Both he and the people were disturbed because they knew that there'd be no recent birth. But beyond that, these wise men were looking for the King of the Jews. In other words, they were looking for the Messiah. And this was troublesome news for King Herod. Was his reign as king going to be brought to an end? And so, wanting to guard his own self-interest, he called the religious leaders to find out where this so-called king was to be born. And without any hesitation, they were able to inform Herod from the book of Micah that the new king would be born in Bethlehem. And with that important piece of the puzzle in place, he called the wise men in secretly and persuaded them then to go to Bethlehem and then report back to him if their search was fruitful. Listen to his deceptive words in Matthew 8, chapter 2, verse 8. Go and make a careful search for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may go and worship him. Worship him? Herod didn't know the first thing about worship, but this sly old fox, he wanted to murder this baby. He wanted to get rid of this threat to his reign as king. Here was another man. Here was King Herod, who was so close to discovering the Christ of Christmas, but in the end he missed out on it because of his own self-interest and greed. Is it possible that is true for someone in this gathering or for someone who will listen to a CD or via a website? Could that be true of someone? Yes, I believe it is possible because of that self-interest, that idea of what's in it for me, that people miss out on many good things in life. Because self is on the throne, people miss out on friendship, beauty, love, good times, and happiness. And that's so sad, but the greater tragedy is that because of self-interest, because of what's in it for me, some people miss out on Jesus. Tell me, is that the heart problem that you have today? The honest answer why you're not saved is because, really, deep down, you're selfish. Well, you know the way of salvation. You know that you need to be saved. But in the end, you just want to live for yourself. You want the things of this world more than you want Jesus. Now, that describes your heart this Christmas. And let me remind you of the words of Christ himself. In Mark 8, in verse 36, Jesus said, "What good is it for a man to gain the whole world, yet forfeit his soul?" Tell me, is that what you want this Christmas? To be so filled with self-interest that you'll lose your own soul? I want to remind you that real self-interest lies in finding the one who loved you and died to be your Savior. Don't end up in hell saying, "I did it my way," but come to Jesus Christ today because he declared in John 14 and 6, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Today, get rid of the selfish desires in your own heart. And today, seek the Lord while he may be found. So we have been reminded that the innkeeper and Herod miss Christmas. But there's another group of men who miss Christmas, and they were the religious leaders, namely the chief priests and scribes. Of all the men in the world at that time, they should not have missed the birth of Christ, for they were the ones who had the scriptures. They were the very ones who told Herod where Jesus would be born. And yet it's perhaps with that indifference, that couldn't care less attitude in their hearts, that they didn't want to leave their own homes to investigate his arrival. But again, that makes us stop and ask, why? Why did those religious leaders hold back? Why? Why were they reluctant in searching for Jesus? And of course, we can't be certain, but it may well have been their own pride. Herod had called upon them to ask where the baby would be born, and they were able to give the right answer to the question. And maybe because of that, maybe they were really puffed up with pride. Aren't we the best things in sliced bread? We're the greatest here. There's no one more important than us. Pride had entered their lives. And pride's still a great hindrance to people finding Jesus in a personal way. There are many people in this community and connected with this congregation who know the way of salvation, who know their need to be saved. Oh, they can quote Bible verses, which of course is wonderful, but there is no inward reality of the work of the Holy Spirit. They have head knowledge of God, but no heart knowledge. They're like these religious leaders in that they know the answers to questions, and they're satisfied that that is simply enough. I wonder, as Christmas 2017 comes around, does that describe your life? You're a religious person, but sadly, you have no reality of Jesus in your life. Let me remind you of the middle letter of sin and pride is the letter I. In your pride, you look around and you judge others and you think, well, he or she says they're a Christian, but I think I'm every bit as good as them. We're happy with ourselves. We're happy with our own lives. I has taken over. But the danger of a pointing finger is the fact that there are always three fingers pointing back at us. And if you compare yourselves to others, then perhaps the outcome is you can then give yourself a pat on the back. But when you compare your life before a holy God, then you will surely come to realize your own sinfulness, your own wretchedness. Sadly, within this congregation, indeed out into this community, there are those who are blinded to their need of a Savior because of their pride. They believe they are good enough, but in the end, that pride will lead them to hell. This morning, I faithfully remind you of your need to personally know Jesus Christ as your Savior. Listen, nothing else will do. Only Jesus can truly satisfy the longing of an empty heart. Well, yes, you're seeking satisfaction. And yes, we have to admit that the world offers satisfaction. But if you're honest about it, then you will know that the world doesn't offer lasting satisfaction. Jesus alone can give you what you're looking and longing for, because only He can truly satisfy. When you focus entirely on Jesus, you will learn to forget about yourself, and in turn you will learn to love others as God loved us. Please don't be like the religious leaders who knew where Jesus was, but in the end decided not to look for Him. And ultimately, they missed Him. The innkeeper, Herod, and the religious leaders were all people who missed Christmas. If you like, they were all within touching distance of making that wonderful discovery. But alas, for each of them, it was a case of being so close, yet so far. Since becoming your minister in April 13, I have buried more than 50 people. And without a doubt, that has taken its toll upon our congregation. All of those people heard the gospel. They knew they were sinners, and they knew that only Jesus could save them. But often I wonder how many of those people that I've buried will be in heaven. The truth is, I don't know, because I'm not the judge. But wouldn't it be so sad if there were those who were so close, who knew about it, who knew what they needed to do, and yet they ended up in that awful place called hell? And so in closing, let me ask that question of you. If your life was to suddenly come to an end, what could be said of you? Or more importantly, what could God, the great judge of the universe, say of you? Would there be a warm welcome into heaven for you? And would you hear those thrilling words, "Well done, thy good and faithful servant"? Or will you experience a different warmth? The warmth of the flames of hell as you hear those terrible words, "Depart from me, I never knew you." Dear friends, please, please don't miss out in finding the Christ of Christmas for yourself. Please don't say, "Well, I'll leave this to some other day or some other time." But right now, right in this place, God called you to come. Maybe even this morning you thought, "I don't know whether I'll bother going out to church," but God has brought you here. It's no accident that you're here. Maybe this is the day where God is calling you to turn away from that sin, to put him first, and to know the joy of sins forgiven. May that be your joy this day and this Christmas, for Christ's sake alone. Amen. Let's pray together. Loving Father, we thank you and praise you for your great plan of redemption. And we thank you, Lord, for many in this gathering who have that assurance in their hearts that they have found the Christ of Christmas, that they know Jesus Christ in a personal way. And so we would pray, Father, that even over these next few weeks, that you will help us to live that out, that you will help us to bear witness for Jesus in our homes, in school, in the workplace, out into the community. Father, help us indeed to shine for Jesus this Christmas time. Forgive us, O God, if we have been following afar off. Forgive us, O God, if there has been a coldness that has crept in, that subtlety of letting our Bible reading slip or our prayer life go to the dogs. Lord, whatever it's been, help us to get back on track with you. Help us indeed, Lord, from this day on to move forward in a positive manner. And then, Lord, we would pray for those who are still without you. Oh, Father, may the very thought of that, the warmth of the flames of hell, may that, Lord, just burn into hearts and lives this morning. May they flee from that and flee to Christ. Father, how sad it would be if there were those here who were close to finding the Christ of Christmas, but yet ultimately would miss out in glory. So may your word come and penetrate and find that resting and abiding place. Lord, may there be signs following the preaching of your word even this very day. And we'll be careful to give you the praise, the glory and the honor. For we ask all this in our Savior's great name. Amen.